Philip Van Winkle has been studying 2 Peter. Here's Philip.
Thank you for joining us for our study of 2 Peter. We're in chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Peter writes, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Damnable heresies, it says, they come in privately, or they come in sneaky, but they do so right alongside of the truth. You know, when you go to poison a mouse, if you have a mice problem in your house, and you want to poison a mouse, you have to, first of all, put real food on the plate and then mix it with the poison. You don't just put a plate of poison out for the mouse because he's not going to go eat it. But if you'll put that poison in and mix it in with the real food, then you will fool the mouse and he will end up dying. Well, that's exactly how false teachers work. They mix the truth with a little bit of error. And of course, that error will cause you to lose your soul. But here are these false teachers. They come in as if they are correct. They misuse Scripture. And it says that they're accused of having damnable heresies, Peter says. Some of these false teachers in the first century would even deny the Christ. There were some in Peter's day that were saying that Jesus wasn't really deity. There were others in Peter's day that says that he was not really flesh, but both were wrong. The modern day version of it, of this sort of teaching, goes something like this. You know, Jesus was a good man, and he was a son of God, but you know, we're all sons of God, and we're all good. You know, Jesus said some good things, and he was a good example, so it might be nice if we could follow his example, but folks, that's not the Christ that we read about in the Bible. And we could talk about that a different time. But that is just one example of a damnable heresy. In verse 2 it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Look at the phrase, this, follow their pernicious ways. Their pernicious or wasteful ways. You see, they don't really care what the Bible says. They're going to live how they want to live. They're going to justify what they're doing, and many of them will use the Bible to try to justify what they're teaching. And then it says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You see, some of these false teachers would allow people to do things in their fleshly lives that God would never even allow. And it still happens even in Christianity today. It still happens even in the church today. False teachers, you see, they don't want people preaching on homosexuality anymore. Well, we wouldn't want our teachers or preachers to teach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Well, that's too harsh, they say. Oh, you people are just being mean. And so we end up just giving people whatever it is that they want to hear. In fact, some of you may have heard of some of the churches today, the community churches. They tell you plainly on their websites, or if you talk to them, you know, we conducted a survey in our community. See, what we did was, we asked people why they didn't go to church. Tell us what we as a church need to do to bring you into the church. They put all these surveys together. The world said, well, you know, we don't like to be told that we're living in sin. You know, we don't like for the preacher to preach to us directly from the Bible, and so on and on it went. And, you know, we like to have donuts, and we like to have coffee, and why don't you bring a kid's play hour in for us, and all these things that are going to appeal to our fleshly desires. And that's exactly what these churches did. We throw out the Word of God, we compromise on what God says, and we appeal to people's fleshly lust. Oh, and now all of a sudden we grow and we have a lot of members, and until you have things like that purpose-driven church, some of these community churches, 17,000 people there worshiping. But Peter says, what are they doing? He says, they're heaping up damnation to themselves. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The church that continues to change with the whims of people, they have stopped serving God. See, they dress it up nice. They hold their Bibles close to them and they hug them and they pretend like they love their Bibles and they don't care at all. They don't care at one hill of beans what the Bible teaches. And the world looks at a religious group and at religion accepting things that they themselves know are not right. And the way of truth is evil spoken of, just as Peter says it would be. The sad part is some of our brethren have bought into it. They think that these guys have it right. Friends, you cannot abide by the truth and appeal to the world. The two things, they just don't go hand in hand. You cannot abide by the truth and just expect that the world is going to let you know what they're doing, what you need to be doing for God. In fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Peter says, "Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness," verse 3, "and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Well, what does that mean? What does it mean they will make merchandise of you? They're going to speak these soft words. We hope that you have your Bibles. We hope that you're following along, because there's some important words that we need to look at in this passage. It says that they will make merchandise of you. They're going to speak these soft words to try to gain you, to gain your trust. And it's going to be you who's padding their bank account. It's going to be you who's fattening their wallet. It's going to be you who's going to be causing them to gain more and more popularity. And it's going to be on your backs that they're going to be able to spread their error around. You see, you and I need to be very careful when we talk about growing the church or allowing the church to grow. I'm not opposed to church growth. I love church growth. We need to grow. But we need to see this too. Real growth only happens through the Word of God. If you want to know how it was that they grew the church in the New Testament so that we can do the same today, hear what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." You teach a person, and then that person turns around and he teaches a person, and then that person turns around and he teaches a person, and then that person turns around and so on and so on and so on. And that, folks, is the pattern for church growth. That's how it happened in the first century. That's how we are supposed to do it today. Not by building big playgrounds and having coffee and donuts. And that's not how you build churches. That's how you appeal to people's fleshly desires. God made it so simple for us. One person teaching another person who will then turn and teach another person. And then he says in verse 3, "whose judgments now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." These fellows think that judgment is not coming. He says, don't think that you can fool God. Paul writes in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, to make sure that we understand that the judgment's going to come, he's going to use three different examples. He's going to use angels, he's going to use people in Noah's day who were wicked, and he's going to use Sodom and Gomorrah. The judgment came to these people. Oh, it may have taken a while for God to stop being patient towards them, but it did come. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, verse 4, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under the judgment. If you go back to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, we see some things here. It says, "And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, you have Paul writing, writing to Timothy, and he's talking about elders, and he says, For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So he says, well, who should be an elder? Not a new person. Why not? Because he might be tempted by his pride to fall into that same condemnation of the devil. And it seems, I don't know for sure, but it seems at some point the devil and some of the others decided that they were not happy with their position in heaven, and so they wanted more. It appears that because of their pride, they were shut into darkness to wait for their judgment. The point is this. Peter's saying, look, if God would not spare the angels who transgressed the law of God, if God would not even spare them, who do you think you are that you would be spared? If God spared not even the angels, what hope do we as human beings have for trying to escape the judgment of God? Folks, the point is clear. You and I need to be very, very careful about who we believe. False teachers will come to us and they're going to pretend to be so nice. They're going to pretend to be exactly what God would want them to be, but then the words that they say will not be what you find in God's Word. And so you be very careful who you believe. You and I are to hold every teaching up against the Word of God. The point is this, folks. False teachers will come. You need to be aware of them. I need to be aware of them. But if they come, we can't listen to them. Certainly we cannot obey them or buy into what they're selling, because just as they will be judged, so will we.